Get Till Show, Starcom Radio Network. Rob Lucey, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us today.
Good afternoon, Ed. Thanks for having me on board.
You know, it's a pleasure because I come from New York City, home of the Rangers. I'm 60 years old, so I've been around hockey all of my life, but I've never really known much about Gordie Howe. You've got a remarkable take on this now. I want people to understand where you're coming from. It's not just about his hockey. It's about how a legacy is really important when it's more than just what we already know about a famous name. Legacies Aren't Just for Dead People is the book. Rob Lucey, describe what you mean by that title, and then we'll talk about Gordie.
Well, I think if you sat down with a nice, polite dinner table and said to people, what do you think your legacy will be? Most of them end up staring into their Brussels sprouts because they think that legacies, you find your legacy, what your legacy is when you die. And I don't want to wait for my eulogist to tell me at my funeral what my legacies are. I'd like to live them now and enjoy them now. And I think Gordie was ahead of his time in thinking that even though he was a big, old, gruff, dumb old hockey player, he knew what the heck he was doing, and his legacies wouldn't be what he did on the ice. You know, those famous hat tricks, the, you know, a goal and an assist and a fight was a Gordie hat trick. He knew that when he got off the ice, that's when he could affect people more. I think the record on the ice or the record of some quarterback throwing 120 touchdown passes, those are memories. Those aren't legacies. Gordie knew that that a legacy is something that connects him to people, that enhances the lives that he leads with them, that, you know, your life and his life and my life, because we met each other, and gives us more pride in what we're doing. And frankly, you know, the kids that I saw with Gordie looked at him, and they aren't quite as old as you and I, Ed. They never saw him play like we did. But they were affected that this guy who was so good at his sport could be such a nice fellow and say that you can play sports well, you can play it aggressively, but you can be a real human being and really help kids know that what you leave on, what you've done on the ice is great, but what you do after the ice is even way more important. And Gordie knew that. When you saw him in a crowd and you saw him deal with people and those little blinking eyes went into the eyes of a 10-year-old hockey player, it really had an effect. And I think they knew his legacy was that those kids will want to be like Gordie, which ain't a bad thing because he was a delightful man off the ice.
See, this is, to me, so important, this angle that you have on legacy and on figures like great sports guys like Gordie Howe. Unfortunately, you and I know, we've seen the change in the media. When we were kids and there were heroic athletes, you would generally get the heroic moment of during the game and maybe a smiling shot of them in civilian clothes. And that was pretty much it. We've gone to this world of Kobe Bryant's bad behavior and this one and that one and the more graphic and sensational. It sucks up so much of the airtime that the public is exposed to. What you've struck upon is what a great opportunity to contrast that with men and women who really stand as men and women to be great people after the launch point was their sports achievement. So I want to talk about Gordie Howe's real legacy. What can you share with us that would make this picture become so much more clear than just a faded snapshot of a guy at center ice?
Well, just to be clear, Gordie's legacy off the ice is to affect kids from the 10-year-old to the 60-year-old like you and I to say, I can be like that. I may not be quite the hockey player, but I can be like that off the ice too. Because he was a gentle giant. He would look you in the eyes and you knew that you were communicating with him. You knew that you were the only person in his life at the time. And that has an effect, especially on kids. And he was great at that. When he was touring, I'm in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and I remember when I was a kid in the prairies, how Gordie would come through and he'd be marketing hockey equipment and the Eaton store and that sort of thing. And he was such a delightful guy. You could walk right up to him and shake his hand and he would look you in the eye and say, what's your sport? Do you check hard? And what do you do off the ice? What are you good at off the ice? and he would just plant in these kids, and parents listening to this were just as effective, I think, that he would just really be interested in you and let you know that you can be good at stuff off the ice too. You know, you don't, and like me, I don't want, and Gordy never said this, I don't think, but I don't want to be just known for what is on the ice. I want to be known for affecting people and connecting to people off the ice. And so I would say of the hundreds of thousands of kids and adults that ran into him in some of his events, they carry Gordy, and that's why there was such a reaction when Gordy died, because I think it says to all of us that, yeah, he affected people. He affected me, and I want my life to be such that I can give and I can connect to people and we can enjoy it together. And then when Gordy dies, well, there'll be other people who feel the same way, and they're gonna connect and affect people just the same way that Gordy did. And that's his real legacy, when other people want to be like him and to be as rich and humble and as giving as he was.
You know, you've hit on such magic right there, because again, if we look at the current crop of superstars, we don't get that same feeling. We see these contract fights that go out. We see team changes that set fans off. And you see sometimes, you know, a player confronting an audience rather than opening up his arms to help and share. So in light of that, I want to ask, are we creating more of the values that drove Gordie Howe? Are they out there, or are they in short supply and we need to nurture them, or are we awash in them and we're just not paying careful attention?
Oh boy, good question. I think the values are always there. We're never going to get rid of them. You know, it comes down to just good old, who are your parents? What did they teach you? I mean, I don't know a heck of a lot about Gordy's parents, but of all the athletes you mentioned, and of those, you know, those people making $10, $20, $30 million a year, what did their parents tell them about treating other people? What did their parents tell them about integrity and then the truth and giving back and that sort of thing? And I think the values are always there. We're just, our society sometimes, no, it doesn't accent them. In my book, I challenge, within the next first three chapters, I say to people that to do it. I mean, if we ask Gordy what his values would be, I bet it would be giving back, and I bet it would be affecting kids positively and pumping them up to be a better person. If Gordy was able to articulate those, I think we'd hear that kind of thing. And so what I tell people to do in the book is, even though Gordy wasn't able to do it, you can do it now because you're still here, hopefully, and you're going to be here tomorrow, is to assess what your values are and to say, which ones am I really living? Which ones really make my engine run? And once you know those, it's a big step. It's a hearty step to know that, yes, giving back and the truth and integrity are the three values that really drive me. And once you know that, then we become more like Gordy. We become living through our, all our actions are tainted with those values, which is a pretty good thing. Now, come down to, you know, as you mentioned, the athletes that don't seem to live by them. Well, I guess our society has just kind of said that entertainment in the buck trumps values, using the word Trump advisedly. I don't think they ever will, but at a time in some of these young guys' lives, they do. And I hope, you know, one day a little bit of Gordy's going to drip into them to say, no, I want to be known for affecting kids and adults positively. Even though I made millions and millions of dollars, my values and showing what they mean to me are much more important than the number of baskets I made and the number of millions of dollars I made.
Wow. You know, this is so much fun talking about this side of heroic sports figures. You know, as a kid, again, I was with the New York Post and with the Daily News, you know, reading these little squibs about the game the night before, checking the box score. But you've really unearthed here a dimension that sports writing has not tapped into. This is not sports writing. Is there a way for your readers, and myself included, having this conversation with you, that we can discover our own legacy by watching what others have done to create theirs?
Well, the first thing I would say is, is find out, as I say, in the first three chapters of the book, you will discover what your values are. And then just keep your eyes open and watch some of these sporting people and see. I've come off a lot, as a matter of fact, off professional sports because I got tired of seeing the kind of thing you talked about where ego and money kind of led the day. Instead of, and you can probably pick on one hand the number of pro athletes that you respect because they do head into the children's hospital. They do back certain charities. They will give up a weekend to do something for people who are less fortunate. Those are the ones to kind of look at and say, I wonder what values there that is driving them. And then, yes, say to the sports reporters, instead of just telling me about what they did on the court, get in there and ask those athletes, what are your values? What drives you? Most athletes, they'd go, holy smoke, what a question.
Right.
Well, I'd hold them to the fire. And I would say, no, tell us, you're good at what you do. You're good at throwing touchdown passes. You're good at sinking three-pointers. You're good at, you've had four hat tricks on the hockey rink this year. But what drives you? What are your values outside of sport? And it'd be really interesting to have some of these people, these athletes think a lot differently and deeper. And I, frankly, if I was a reporter, I think it'd be a damned interesting series of articles to even just do the folks in your town.
I agree. I so agree with you. I mean, I'll tell you what comes to mind. Back in the 90s, I worked in Chicago on a great radio station called The Loop and became a Blackhawks fan just by osmosis. And the agent that represented me for that was dating Jeremy Roenick at the time.
So it
was my introduction to his play, but then went out to dinner with him several times. And this is what I hear you saying when you talk about sports reporters paying attention to some different angle, right? What was fascinating to me was a lot of what we're talking about, how he treated my agent who was dating him, right? What kind of a guy he was to be on a date with, but also how he treated the people serving the table. You know, how gracious he was when we were being seated. In other words, there was none of this entitlement stuff. And it's really stuff that you see in someone's eyes and you hear it in the tone of their voice. So isn't this really, something great for kids to see that it is, as you say, not just the stats, it's not just the courtside celebration, it's who is behind all of this success.
Yep. I think what you're talking about is connection in my mind is Jeremy, and Jeremy is known as a pretty good guy. I'm glad you enjoyed him. I don't know the guy, but I've seen him on TV in a variety of roles, and I think what you're talking about is connection, and that is how he connected to the server, his agent, and girlfriend, and to you, and felt. And I think the key is he could leave that table, and you would feel richer because of it. You would feel richer because of his presence, because he connected to you, and he kind of enhanced your life, and that lingers with you as he goes away. I think that's the real key when people, the definition I've got of legacy is that, you create something that connects you to others, it enhances both your lives, and it'll continue to affect lives when you're gone. If you were hit by a herd of water buffalo tomorrow, I would have, ideally your legacies would continue to enhance lives. And I think even a simple one like Jeremy leaving that table, and this is really simple, but leaving that table and that server would feel, wow, that was I feel connected to that big old gruff hockey player.
Oh yeah.
And I really enjoyed it, and I'm going to tell other people about it, and I'm going to try and act like that some more myself. So it's connection that is a real key when you watch people who are really in touch with their own values and living by them.
What a great point, because it is, when you first are in the presence of folks like this, and I've been around a lot of professional athletes. When I was in Atlanta, I used to hang out with Dominique Wilkins when he used to dominate that team. And there is something that you expect going in. Gee, I'm not like these guys. I'm kind of the outsider. I'm going to watch my P's and Q's here. And within a second, they disarm you. And now you realize that they make an effort, right, to eliminate what separates us and to highlight what connects us, as you say. Another one that I wonder if you think about is, Babe Ruth holds all of these incredible records, right? The house that Ruth built, just a, you know, an icon in baseball. But there's not a single fan of that era that doesn't know the story of him promising the little boy that he would hit that home run and then pointing to the stands, hit it for the kid. I mean, it just dwarfs all of the batting titles. It dwarfs all the other stuff because it's so almost unimaginable. But there it is, the big old Babe sitting on the corner of a kid's hospital bed, going to the game and having that kid with him at the plate. It's really special, man.
I mean, I'm glad he hit the home run. I mean, it'd be kind of a different effect if he lined out, but I'm glad that happened. And the other thing that Gordy, back to Gordy, and what Jeremy uses too, they once they know what their values are, they use their skills and their talents, not in sport, but their other skills and talents, to make those legacies work. So Gordy was a warm, big-handed, callous hands, those blinking eyes, but he had a way of looking into your soul, and he used that talent to make a connection to others and to make them feel good. And other athletes, not as many as we agreed, know how to do that. And so I'm kind of hoping there's a few reporters here that'll say, no, I'm going to do a full series of what makes your engine run, what values and skills and talents would you use to create create legacies, or just which ones are you very much aware of? I get a feeling a lot of them would have to do a lot of thinking to know that to think of a Gordie Howe off the ice used his skills as a communicator and a gentle giant and to connect with people and convince kids they can do well. You can do well on the ice and you can do well off the ice, which was his message was. And it was kind of sad. I met him, probably 15 years ago. He was still very healthy, and I remember walking away from there, not knowing I was going to write this book on legacy, and walking away from him thinking, that meeting with him will linger with me for a long time, because he just got in. He looked into your eyes, he looked into your soul, and said, "Hey, I'd love to have an effect on you. I'd love to let you know what I know. I'd love to let you know what made me what I am, and I'm no different. I'm just a prairie kid that learned to skate."
Right, right.
And he was there's others out there, and I hope they start to raise their head and give kids a better view of professional sports, because a lot of them, they're fabulous folks. They work real hard to get where they are. But don't leave it there.
Exactly.
Don't leave it there.
Exactly. Well, you know, one of the best compliments anyone can pay a book is the compliment that's been paid you. And that is that the book can be a catalyst for the reader's imagination. It's not just transferring information, knowledge. There is something there that is a spark, kind of one of those moments where people go, "Whoa." And that must make you really happy to have that effect with folks. Were you surprised about anything personally in the writing of the book? Were you shocked? Were you caught off guard, pleasantly surprised, that only the writing of the book would have gotten you there?
Great question. I was surprised at the depth of not understanding what my legacies can be. Most people, I would say a very high percentage in the 90s, think, oh, legacies is about money and death. It's about packaging up your resources and leaving it to the kids. And it shocked me how deep that was. And the other one was just, and then people in the financial industry convinced me, and they said to me with a smile on their face that the financial industry has stolen the idea of legacy. So it was really about breaking down those two ideas and saying, no, legacy is about, as we talked about, each of us can create tiny, tiny ones or really international charities, but it all takes the same thing, and that is knowing what your values are, what your skills and talents are to build legacies, and to enjoy them now. Don't wait till you're dead to enjoy them. Enjoy them now for the next 30 years with other people. And you end up being the happier among us. That the proof of the pudding, which I found was, all the studies say that when you do live like that, your values and your skills and your talents are in line with what you do, you can create some stuff that, just makes life a lot richer. And I think that's sometimes when we are a little sad, and you maybe felt it in your career, when you don't feel like you're being used enough, that's when we're not using our skills and talents and values. And so it was a 7-year process, and the book is changing some things. And as I say, after reading 3 chapters or 6 or 12, people are going to, I hope, have their imaginations stirred to say, no, I want to try this out. What have you got to lose? Just
Absolutely.
Learn a little bit about yourself and become a bit more Gordy-like, I guess.
There you go. What a beautiful, now, that is a beautiful word. Let's get that into the popular vocabulary. Nice job. Listen, I can't tell you how much fun this was, because I love the subject, but I've really enjoyed talking to you, because you've really gone into it from such a different angle. I congratulate you on the book, and I know it was a labor of love. So we're going to have you come back sometime. Do you mind?
Ed, that would be terrific, and I'll see you at some hockey game. Who are you going to hope for this year?
Well, you know, I lived on Long Island most recently, and I watched DiPietro come out of the Sound Tigers in Bridgeport and make it to the Islanders. So that's where my current loyalty has been, even though my uncles are going to be all over me for not being with the Rangers. But yeah, I'm an Islanders guy.
And I have to put up with the Vancouver Canucks. So.
Yeah, but the good news for you is you're doing it in Vancouver, British Columbia. So
yeah.
When I make my first visit, I cannot wait to get there. I hear nothing but great things about your town there. So I tell you what, you're so much fun to hang out with. I bet you love it up there. You wouldn't live anyplace else, right?
Well, we do travel a fair bit, but it's pretty well got everything you could ask for in life, and safe and beautiful and warm, and so we like it. But I'll give you a tour when you get here, and I'll buy you a beer on the box, and we'll watch
the Canucks,
the Islanders take on the Canucks.
You got it. You know what? That's going to be a date that I will keep. As a matter of fact, maybe next time we get you on, we'll have some of that going on in the background. What a pleasure, Rob. Thank you for being with us today, and I look forward to you coming back on the show. The book, let me give the title again for people who want to get a hold of it, is a terrific, terrific title. It puts you in the right place. Legacies are not just for dead people. Our guest, Rob Lucey. Rob, where would you like people to go to get the book?
Amazon would probably be the safer place. Amazon, you can buy the hard copy book, which I really recommend. I think it reads better in the hard copy, but I'm not against the ebook. Well, of course, certainly not. So you can get the ebook there too. But Amazon.com is the place to go, or Amazon.ca if you're north of the border. And I love hearing from people. It's delightful. It's great to hear little reviews of the book, and knowing that lives are subtly, but really, I think, being changed. The taproot of change goes rather deep after even just reading a few chapters. And it ain't heavy stuff. I wrote the book to be fun and enlightening and graphically fun, with some laughs in it. But I think once you practice and maybe try out some of the strategies, you'll go, yeah, that's... I mean, within 3 months or 3 chapters, there's one legacy that I heartily recommend any parent do, as the most important legacy they could ever leave their family, and you can get it done in an hour.
Oh, that's awesome.
So there's a few things to do.
Terrific, man. And the website I see is yourlegacysmile.com. Is that right?
Correct.
Excellent. Well, Rob, I look forward to next time. Thank you for today. Great job. Rob Lucey.
Thanks.
Legacies aren't just for dead people. Rob Lucey, the author. Ed Till Show, Starcom Radio Network.